But about 10 years later, both Mahlon and Chilion died. And this left Naomi alone without her two sons or her husband. Then Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had blessed his people in Judah by giving them good crops again. So Naomi and her daughters-in-law got ready to leave Moab to return to her homeland with her two daughters. With her two daughters-in-law, she set out from the place where she had been living, and they took the road that would lead them back to Judah. But on the way, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law,
"Go back to your mother's homes, and may the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husbands and to me. May the Lord bless you with the security of another marriage."
Then she kissed them goodbye, and they all broke down and wept.
"No, we want to go with you, to your people."
"Why should you go on with me? Can I still give birth to other sons who could grow up to be your husbands? No, my daughters, return to your parents' homes, for I am too old to marry again. And even if it were possible, and I were to get married tonight and bear sons, then what? Would you wait for them to grow up and refuse to marry someone else? No, of course not, my daughters. Things are far more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord himself has raised his fist against me."
And again they wept together, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung tightly to Naomi.
"Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. You should do the same.
Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us."
When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more. Let's give them a round of applause. Good work. Good job, Melody. Good job, Susan. Thank you. So today we are beginning a new sermon series on the Book of Ruth. We are going to hear the entire Book of Ruth. I'm going to preach on all four chapters, one chapter a week. If you have not spent time in the Book of Ruth, I encourage you to do that this month. That you would read the entire Book of Ruth. It's only four chapters. It's like this teeny little book, but it really packs a punch. It's amazing. And if you want to get a nice synopsis of it, the podcast that I am a part of, The Bad Calvinists, we did a podcast just that we most recently released on this whole book. And so we give a nice kind of overarching summary of that book. So if you haven't been able to get in touch with that, this is a good chance for you to do that, and let me know if you have a hard time accessing it. Let us hear the remainder of the first chapter of chapter 1 after Ruth refuses to leave Naomi. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women exclaimed, "How can this be, Naomi?" "Do not call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem just as the barley harvest was beginning. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Let us pray. Gracious God, may we hear these words from the Book of Ruth, words that speak power of your love and the kind of love that we are called to one another. May you bless these words that are coming from my mouth so they may be pleasing to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So First off, this book, the title of the book of Ruth, I think is quite deceptive. It would make you think that the whole narrative of this book is about Ruth. But this, in fact, is not the case. This is not only Ruth's story, it is also Naomi's story. And what becomes clear, obviously clear from the first chapter, is that this short book is actually about these two women, Ruth and Naomi, whose lives are intertwined in strange and unexpected ways. And through this friendship that transcends culture and age, they embody a love that can change a nation, the kind of love that Christ showed the world and asked us to share as well. The special word for love in this, which is a Hebrew word, is in Ruth, is hesed. Can you all say that word with me today? Hesed. Get that. You got to get that in there. Come on, it's here. Hesed. Good job. And that is like loving kindness. It's a concept that you need to get familiar with, because we're going to be coming back to it again and again and again in this series, because that is the central part of Ruth. In fact, they could have named this book Hesed, and it would have been just fine, and it would have worked out, right? So, the book of Ruth begins and ends with Naomi. This is why I tell you this is both their stories, because it begins and ends with Naomi. By the end of the first five verses, which are very dark and depressing, we learn that Naomi and her husband Elimelech and their two sons are forced to leave their home nation of Judah due to a famine, and they immigrate to a neighboring country, Moab, which was at the time Israel's enemy and oppressor. The irony here, of course, is that they leave fleeing famine in Bethlehem. Does anyone know what in Hebrew Bethlehem means? House of bread. House of bread. And so they're leaving the house of bread because there's no bread in Bethlehem to be had. And so, what happens when they get to Moab? Naomi's husband dies. Her sons do the unthinkable, and they go marry Moabite women. Unbelievable. Any person that was living at the time who was Jewish would have been like, oh boy, this is bad times right now. It would have been a dishonor to their family and to God. To a Jewish family at that time. You do not marry a Moabite woman. You don't do it. But they did. Within 10 years, Naomi's sons die through undisclosed causes. And in this society, a woman's value was defined by how many heirs she could produce. So in 10 years, Naomi went from honored mother of two sons with a future bright ahead to a widow whose life work had been eliminated in a blink of an eye, who has little value now in society. It's no wonder that Naomi describes her life as being emptied. Not only did her life not turn out how she imagined it, but she is now living a nightmare. Naomi is the closest I think we have to a female Job in all of Scripture. Yet, in the midst of darkness, a small light turns on. Naomi, whose name in Hebrew means sweet, but whose life was anything but, gets word that the famine in Judah is over. And with her two widowed daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, with her, they set back to go back to Judah, back to Bethlehem, where Naomi was from. But as they start out, Naomi has second thoughts and asks her daughters-in-law to leave her and go back home. She says, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. And may the Lord grant each of you find rest in the home of another husband." It is here that we have our first instance of Hesed in Ruth, translated here as kindness. Naomi knows that Ruth and Orpah are better off in this ancient patriarchal society without their mother-in-law dragging them down, right? They still have the possibility of having a better life, of finding a husband and having so many boy babies, they're coming out of their ears. Right? But something amazing happens here. Naomi thanks them for their chesed toward her sons and towards Naomi herself. She blesses them for a future without her. Yet Ruth and Orpah refuse to leave. Death has this really strange way, and I think you all know this. Death has this weird way of creating new families. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. That shared grief can bind you together to people that you never would have expected to be bound together with. Any of y'all experienced that? A death brought you closer to someone than you ever expected? Anne and I, when we were in Columbus, Indiana, we knew our neighbors, but we didn't know them well. And it wasn't until, and they were a couple, and it wasn't until the wife died that we started becoming close with our neighbor, Larry. And part of it started that Henry would run into his backyard all the time and just play with whatever was in his backyard. But we became super close to the point that we were eating meals together all the time, and we were a family. Death has this way of bringing people together in ways you don't expect. And so in this book, our first demonstration of chesed in the book is where two Moabite women are so committed to their Jewish mother-in-law that they're willing to immigrate to a country where they will be distrusted in the best circumstances and openly despised and persecuted in the worst of circumstances. They're willing to take all of that on. That's how much they love her. That is amazing. But Naomi knows she is not going to drag these women down. She does not want them to be with her. She says, you have better opportunities. She urges them again. And she tells them, my connection with you is over. It's done. Even if by some crazy miracle I could have two more kids, you're not going to wait till they grow up. Get out of here. And then Naomi says what I think is the very definition of what it feels like when you're going through tragedy and death. She says, the Lord's hand has turned against me. I think that's how it feels when you're in the midst of grief. And after more tears and embraces, Orpah obeys Naomi's command. She turns back home. But in an almost instant response to Naomi's declaration that the Lord has turned against her, Ruth refuses to leave. And she makes one of the most powerful declarations of commitment and chesed in the fullness of Scripture. Don't urge me to leave you, she says, or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me and be ever so severely if even death separates you and me. A statement of commitment, of love, so powerful that I have suggested it to couples to be used in weddings, even though this is a scripture about two platonic friends. Ruth is saying, I am with you to the end. Your pain is my pain, your joy, my joy. And this is what Hesed looks like, a love that will not let go, a love that stays connected despite the hardship it faces, despite the darkness that grief brings, and despite the cultural and religious differences that separated them. This is a model for loyalty in relationship. And for Ruth, it was a great risk to commit to Naomi. She was leaving all she knew, her home country, and she was willing to become a foreigner in a land that will not appreciate or want her presence. She was willing to face complete and utter rejection because she loved this woman, because she had hesed for this woman. Now, we all know those people who have gone above and beyond to care for those who have been ostracized, rejected, or hated. People who are willing to see the image of God in all people and care and show hesed for those people. People who are willing to take on rejection themselves to show love. I think about those people in the 80s. Who cared for those people who suffered with AIDS before it was known how it was spread. People that put themselves in a situation in which the rest of society was not going to want to be around them because of who they cared for. I think of those people who work with prisoners, the homeless, the immigrant, and poverty-stricken, the mentally ill, the disabled. People who live hesed to their very core because such work requires it. Think about these folks, the totality of the work that they do, and we might start to get a sense of the power of Ruth's decision and commitment. It is the kind of love that Jesus embodies and shared with the world. May we too be bold enough to share hesed as Ruth does. May loving kindness transcend our political, racial, religious, socioeconomic divisions and actually reveal to us a way forward, a way of grace, a way of generosity, a way of forgiveness, a way of healing. Because it is worth it. It is worth losing all of it in order to have it, to possess it. Think of that parable that Jesus told about that pearl of great value, right? That was in the middle of a field, right? And we're told that a man went and sold everything he had to purchase that field. That is what hesed is. Something worth losing everything to possess. Because through it, we gain everything. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.